Come to you once again. This is Pastor Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries in St. Timothy Church. It is a blessing once again to meet in this manner. Amen. We're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the time, and offer up a word of prayer. Amen. We need lots of prayer. The scripture says man ought to always pray and not faint. Amen. So it's a good thing. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless your name. Father, we thank you today for all your grace and mercy. And Father, we want to lift up your name because you are exalted and high and lifted up. And Father, we praise you because you are the only God, Lord God. And we want to thank you for being God all by yourself. We want to praise you today, Lord, for your grace and your majesty. And your power that you have put on display in the things that you have made, even in the way that you have made us, Lord God. We just thank you today for your sovereignty, oh God, that you are high and lifted up. And we see you just as Isaiah saw you in the year that King Uzziah died, high and lifted up on the throne, Lord God. And we just praise you right now this morning. Father, we thank you for all your provisions. We thank you for your mercy and your grace toward us, Lord God. And we thank you for the activity of our limbs, God. We thank you for the food on our tables, the shelter, the roof that you put over our heads, Lord God. And Father, we just want to thank you for everything, Lord God. Your word says every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And so, Father, we want to thank you for every good and perfect gift. Lord God, we just want you to bless everybody who's under the sound of my voice today and bless some of them that are upon a bed of affliction right now wherever they are. Lord God, raise up many today and heal their bodies, Lord God, because we know you can do it because you made them, oh God. And Father, we just thank you for protecting us. Thank you for protecting the families and the friends and the neighbors and the relatives and everybody who you have protected, Father, through dangers seen and unseen. And Father, we pray today for the forgiveness of sin, that you forgive us, Lord God, of the multitude of our transgressions, whoever we happen to be. Father, we want to broadcast that good news that you are the God who forgives. You are the one who loves so much you gave your only begotten Son. And you said, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Lord God, we want to thank you for Jesus. We pray for your Holy Spirit to rule and abide in our lives, oh God. We pray that your Spirit would touch many today who need you, that they might come and ask, what must I do to be saved? And Father, we thank you for this privilege, this opportunity to preach your gospel to many. And Father, we pray you take the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and expand them to the ends of this world, because that is the commission that you have gave us. You say, go into all the world and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever you have commanded us. And Father, we love this part, and you said, oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So Father, we see the world is still here, so we know you are with us. And so Father, we praise you for being with us. Bless the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, that it will be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. And bless your word today as it goes forth, that it might go as a rushing mighty wind and fill the hearts of many. And we give you all the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to go ahead and bless the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for another Lord's Day. And I'm so happy that you have tuned in right here to be with us. We do have a word from the Lord that I believe is timely for the season that we seem to be in here. This is a very odd season in history. In my mind, it just seems to be something I have never seen the likes of in all my days. Now, I know I'm not the oldest one tuned in here, but let's say in over three score years, that's 60 for y'all who are not into that old KJV language, over the three score years and more that I've been here, I just have never seen a time like this. This is a unique time, and I just need to take a minute today, because I was meditating on how did we get here and how did things get to be the way they are. And God gave me a statement in my mind. I believe it was the Spirit that was highlighting this particular idea, and I want to share this with you today. because we have all recently seen a trend that will be on the rise in the remaining days as we personally bear witness to the fulfillment of the Word of God, which was written and submitted for all people to be fulfilled with flawless precision to the letter, and that without fail. We, as we witness this lawless trend producing division among people under the guise of a godly unity, people will say, that's what they're going to be saying, this is a godly unity, and I'll explain that in a minute. What can we learn about the fallen destiny of the people of this world from the Word of God? What does God tell us about these days, these times that we have entered into? What is the underlying reason for this high-pressure, volatile condition of the world that is on the rise and becoming more and more acceptable day by day? Now, what I'm talking about is the Bible tells us about the rise of the false church, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And it's not necessarily a church per se. Let's say it's a religious ideology that will be growing in the latter days. I've studied this for many years since I've been saved, and God has been having me meditate on it even more here recently. And I wanted to share some of my thoughts with you about this and some of what God's word says, because there's some things I've been wondering. How will this work out? How will there be that there will be one world economic system? We can see that's pressing now, and things like this pandemic are pushing nations to come together more than ever before. And there's new currencies being made day by day, such as Bitcoin and those type of things, cryptocurrency they call it. And there's a big push toward touchless systems for making purchases and things of that sort, like all the credit cards you get now. New ones have an invisible feature where you can just touch it or raise it up to a machine to make a purchase. Things of that sort. IC chips are embedded in the cards and are emanating signals. And all of this has given rise to what the scripture says eventually that will happen. It'll become the law of the land, which is the mark of the beast. And it says that you must receive it in your forehead or in your hand, and it must contain the number of his name. You can read about that in Revelation. So you read about all these things, and you say, okay, God, how will that work out? Well, these kind of things, and the fact that we see technology moving us closer and closer to such things, is a witness to you and me that we know that these things are definitely on the rise, and they're going to continue. This trend that we see of all the stuff dealing with the electronics and all that, and getting more and more where they're embedding electronics into different systems, all for the purpose of purchase, buying and selling, because the Bible says that the time will come and you won't be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the beast or the number of his name, which will be in your forehead or in your hand. So we wonder, and the big thing is when, how could that be? Two things come to my mind right away. First of all, it lets you know the accuracy of the Bible. The Bible predicted these things. There hasn't been anything added to the Bible over the past 2,000 years, roughly, nearly. It was completed in the first century A.D. And God says, I'm done. I don't need to say anymore. Everything I need to say has already been said, and it's in the book. Now, think about this. For the past, most of that 2,000 years, these technologies were not available. They were not possible. But now in our time, we see they are available and they are possible. So the question would have to be, how did John, who wrote Revelation, know that that would be that way? How did Daniel the prophet and Zechariah and Isaiah, the people in the Old Covenant, and the psalmist and whoever else, they have accurate predictions that were not possible at the time of the writing, but now today we see them coming to pass with flawless accuracy, exactly what God said. For example, John says, this is just one example, that he speaks of two witnesses who prophesy in Jerusalem, and that they're going to be put to death and their dead bodies will lay in the streets of Jerusalem, and that the whole world will look up on their bodies. Well, you know what? At the time he wrote it, it was not possible for the whole world to look up on their bodies. So how would he know that, and why would he write a thing like that at the time when John wrote that in Revelation, which, as I mentioned, was all the way back before the first century A.D.? Now, the only way he could write that, it had to be by a revelation of the Holy Spirit that God had given him to write that. Because now today, it's possible. We can easily turn on our laptop, our TV, multiple different modes of media, even our cell phone in our hand, a handheld device, and take a look and see exactly what's going on in Jerusalem or anywhere else on this planet, which was not possible. That technology was not possible. People probably may have thought back then, John, you must be, maybe you're a little stretched out here, my brother, because how can this happen, you know? But the fact is, and I don't say that to question what people may have said, because I don't know what they were thinking, but we do know now that what he wrote is perfectly accurate and perfectly possible, and today we can see that it's possible, and we know for sure that the Bible has predicted it with flawless accuracy, like many, many thousands of other things. The more you study it, the more you find out that whoever wrote it had to already know what would happen in the future. And it could not have been the persons through whom God wrote those words and gave us the books of the Bible. So this adds great validity and testimony to the Bible. And it's the only so-called holy book, as these people call these other books they write, that it has that flawless accuracy that predicts stuff that we can look right now on today on turn on CNN or Fox News or whoever you look at and see that the stuff God said is 100% perfect and flawless. So you and I have great reason to believe in the authenticity, the perfection, the completeness of God's Word and the fact that it is God's Word. And we talked about that. The lesson or two back, I talked with you about the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God. The Bible continues to become more and more true every day. Now, keep this in mind. The world system is operating against the principles that God's Word has. And so there's something underneath that. Why would you work against the most accurate document in the universe? Why? Exactly why would you set your heart to work against the most accurate document in existence? There is nothing more accurate than the Scripture. Now, we have people today who say, the Bible is old, wives' tales, and they try to give it a bad name and put it on the back burner, but it's the most accurate document in existence. It's more accurate than everything any university has ever published or any so-called scientist has ever published. And its history is correct and accurate, and so is its predictions, and we see that they come to pass just as God said they would. And you know what? This will continue. You know, God will give faith to the ones who trust Him and believe in Him. And so we can understand that if you don't believe Him, that's why you don't understand. That's been the truth, too, all the time. Jesus told Nicodemus, a well-studied Jewish rabbi, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He told this well-studied Jewish rabbi, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you trust God, unless you have faith in God, unless you know that God is and that He is a rewarder of the ones who diligently seek Him. You got to be on the same page with God, having faith, trusting Him, like all the people that He gives examples of throughout the Scripture, whether it be Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis 15:6, who believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. See, righteousness has to do with your faith in Almighty God and His ability to teach you and lead you and guide you to all truth. He said, if you walk in my word and trust in me, that I will lead you and guide you to all truth. In verses, so many, we don't have time to go into them all today. But we like this one. This is a favorite one. You probably love it as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. God gives promises. And He says, if you just trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, you don't even need to understand it. Just believe it. And I will give you more faith. I will increase your faith. Keep in mind, God gives faith. Faith is not something humanly produced. If it is, it's not going to really help you. Let me let you know. If there's something you're depending on that you produce, it's not worth anything. It has a value of zero, a big fat goose egg. You know why? Because God gives faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So any faith produced by human works, you know what it's worth? Zero, baby. You got it right. You nailed it. And so the fact is, without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. And so we need to understand that our faith is not in just what we can do. It's not in how much effort I can put into what I can do. It's not about anything pertaining to what I can do. It has to do with what God said, and you believing what God said and walking out and trusting what God said, as we mentioned in Genesis 15:6 about Abraham. God had called him at 75 and told him, get out of your country, get out of your father's house, and come into a land that I'm going to show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. He said this, I will bless the ones who bless you, and I will curse the ones who curse you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now look at that. God made a promise to a man that was in Ur of the Chaldees at the age of 75, told him, get moving, and I'm going to show you. You know what Abraham did? He went out, the Bible says, not knowing whither he went. He had no idea where God was telling him to go. So how did he move out? It was by faith. I want to let you know, the writer to the Hebrews says it was by faith that Abraham moved out on what God said. He trusted what God said. He didn't know where he was going. He knew not where he went. But he walked with faith in what God has said. So you know what? We're preaching that. I want to preach to you what has been preached to the ages of the saints in times past, which is salvation is by grace. That's unmerited kindness. God's riches, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that has always been God's program. You know what? It will always be his program, even to the trumpet sounds. So you can trust God. And those who trust in the Lord, as the Proverbs writer says, Solomon, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge him, then he will direct your path. He's going to make your path straight. He'll show you the way. And Jesus put it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So what is it that gets into the spirit of people to make them think they can produce something and call it faith, but it's not what God has promised? It is not what the Bible teaches. It is not what God said. God says faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. I open up your ear. I make you able to hear and understand truth and to be able to walk in it. God is the one who supplies the faith that works. And so you and I receive faith as a gift, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. So how does the world get into a haughty attitude of what we're doing and we're going to make stuff work? And there's somebody who has in their spirit a person coming up, a ruler who will be charismatic. He will delight millions of people. He will also mislead millions. Jesus said that false prophets shall arise and will mislead many. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So when we look in our culture and see people who look like they're hating on each other like we've been seeing lately, and when we start to see political divide between nations and stuff, that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse. He promised that there will be nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be pestilence like corona and stuff of that sort. And he said there will be earthquakes in diverse places, and these are only the beginning of sorrow. So Jesus told us accurately what kind of character this world would have at the time of when it's about time for birth pangs, is what he called it, before God's baby will be born, if you will. And the baby that God is birthing is to bring his nation Israel into contrast and conflict with all the nations of the world. And we see that. That's mounting up, lining up in the news every day. The situation in the Middle East gets a little bit more volatile than it was the day before. There's another component, and notice how little old Jerusalem, little old Israel, in the middle of all these massive bodies of land and nations on the planet, is always the focal point of the confusion in the Middle East. Why? Because God selected that parcel for himself, and he has made it the capital of the world. And Jesus the Christ, his son, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of all the people who God had promised in that line, all the way through from Abraham clear on up 42 generations to Mary the virgin, occupied that portion of the world. And God has made it the focal point of the news that you and I look at today. How is that? It continues to be in the news. You know how it is? God said it would be. And his word is accurately predicted that Israel is the fig tree, or so to speak, metaphorically. That is the indicator of what God is doing and when he is about to move. And so what is this attitude that the world has, and even much of the visible church? And I keep having to say the visible church because there's a lot of people who open up and say we're the church. But you know what? They're not teaching you what God said. They have another agenda. They have another motive. They have another reason why they are teaching what they teach. And it is not for you to understand what God has already said. It's written in blood. It's written in the blood of Jesus. What God will bring to pass. God is not confused. Neither is God confusing. God has gave one clear, distinct way that all men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. You know how he did it? He gave his son, Jesus the Christ. He had determined in eternity, as the scripture says, to give his own son as a ransom for the sin of the world. God is not confused at all. There's only one way to be saved. That's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that you believe that God has raised him from the dead, that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, that he was chastised for your peace, that by his stripes we are healed. Now, if you get that clear of a message from a whole lot of what's open today that says I'm the church, it'll be amazing. But the fact is, the true church is intact. The messengers of God understand the Great Commission. And that is, go and teach all the nations the good news. Preach the gospel, Jesus said, to every creature. What is gospel? Good news that whoever you are, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what kind of sin situation you're in, God sent his son to be crucified on a cross for you. He died on that tree of his own free will. He actually commended his own spirit into the Father's hand from the cross after the world and the devil and the flesh had done everything to try to take him out. And was not able to do it. You know why? Because he was flawless and spotless without a wrinkle as he hung there between heaven and earth and gave up his spirit to God the Father. He was in total control of that situation. You know what else? That had been accurately predicted, every little feature of it in God's word, from many, many thousands of years before it happened. And God already knew what would happen. It was his purpose and his plan to have his son, Jesus, that was born of the Virgin Mary after 42 generations from the promise to Abraham, to grow up in Nazareth and to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek for 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of his earthly life, in order to be crucified on the tree so that whosoever believes in him, the Bible says, should not perish. In other words, be on the wrong side of God. That's what it means to perish. To be on the right side of God means to be saved. And there's only two groups in this whole world. You're on the right side of God or you're on the wrong side of God. One of the two. There's one way to get on the right side of God. And that is put your faith and trust entirely in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And the Bible says you shall be saved. Simple as that. You know what? God is not trying to complicate things like some of this mystery Babylon, this false church that's mingled in with governmental systems and mingled in with all kinds of economic systems and really trying to control and manipulate people. But what is it? That's what got in my mind. What is it that would make people do that? How could they get into a situation like that, where they are operating against God, even though God has clearly predicted exactly what they are going to do, exactly how it's going to go down, blow by blow? How could you get hung up in that? What is it that would make you desire that? What is it that would make a person want to control the whole world and rule over the whole world and make it where you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast? Why would there be a beast, an evil source, that's coupled with an unholy church that professes that it is a church, but in fact it's the whore that's seated up on many waters, this mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, which is the culmination of a bunch of different kinds of things in the world? And the answer that came to me in my spirit is unmitigated autonomy, which is the central drive of the fallen soul. Unmitigated means it has no limits. That means it's unchecked. It knows no limits. I'll do anything to ascend to the highest power. That's exactly what the spirit of Satan said. You can read about it in Isaiah 14 and in Ezekiel 28. And you'll find that the devil always has lusted for a position of power. And power is what's on the devil's mind. See, unmitigated autonomy. I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what anybody else says or does. You know what? It's charismatic. That means I'm going to appeal to a bunch of people and suck them into the vortex of this evil, unmitigated autonomy that I have. You know what else? The sad news is in the human soul, that's kind of how we are. We're kind of whacked like that on the inside. We want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it now. We don't want people telling us what to do. That's the way we are when we come into the world. And so the fact is, you and I, who have trusted Christ, have decided rather to submit ourselves to God. And like Peter says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And the truth is, when you trust Christ, that is where the authority comes for you to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Doesn't mean he won't keep trying. You know what? The devil tries every second of every day to get me and you off the track and get us onto this track of this course that a whole lot of the world, most of the world, is going to flock to it. And the church will become the enemy of the world, a real church, who preaches Christ crucified, buried, and risen, and that alone for the salvation of the sinner, which is the clear message of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. So this unmitigated autonomy, the central drive of the fallen soul, is something you and I have to watch out for. And you know what? You don't want it to happen to you, brothers and sisters. You don't want to be a part of that and getting in on the bandwagon with the folks who are married to the world, married to the governments of this world, married to the flesh, and all you want to do is let the flesh run unchecked and do what it wants to do and say that this is freedom, and then have the audacity to call it freedom. And the fact is, we're enslaved to sin and enslaved to humanism, enslaved to everything but God. If you want to be enslaved, get enslaved to Jesus. Let him rule and regulate you, because there's no one, there's not a friend. Somebody wrote a song like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. None else can heal all our souls and diseases, no, not one. There's not anyone like the lowly Jesus. And if you trust in him, you know what? He was already on top. He was already God. He was in eternity with God, and all things were made by him. And without him, there wasn't made anything that was made. And yet he humbled himself and came obedient to the cross, because it was the Father's good pleasure to give his son so he doesn't have to take a wretch like me who does not deserve salvation and cast me into the deep depths of hell. And he doesn't want to do that to anyone. You know what? God was not the reason that there was a problem with man and the sin that came in the world that caused all this corruption, that has the devil thinking he can ascend to the heights of heaven and set himself among the stars of God like he has said he wants to do. That he will ascend. You read those texts about Satan in the Old Testament. And the fact is, he is going to do it, and God is going to give him some rope to do it. But he has given the clear word, the truth of the gospel, the good news, and he told his church to go and teach all the nations. You know when he did it? Right after he got up out the grave. 3 days and three nights after he had been crucified on the tree, he was laid in Joseph's borrowed tomb. He came about that tomb early on the first day of the week. He got up and said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." Then he told his disciples, "Go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I want you to know the Great Commission has not changed. God's intention for the gospel to be preached to every creature has not changed. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning, you can be saved today. It's not going to be by works of righteousness that we have done, according to Titus 3 and 5. Y'all know I love that one. He says, "But it's by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Let me share a couple of passages with you to help you understand this unmitigated autonomy that people seek after. Autonomy means I'm running on my own steam. I don't need anybody else. I want to be unlimited. Let me do anything I want to do. We come here with that kind of an attitude in our spirit. And it has to be changed, and God's the only one who can change it. And you know how He does it? When you put faith in His Son, Jesus the Christ, you will be born again from above by the Spirit of God. He will take up residence in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. He will put you in check about everything about you that's not like Him, or things that He does not like about us, things that need to be changed. And He is the only one who can do it. The good news is, no matter how deeply entrenched into sin we might be, He loves you anyway. And I'm coming in right in the middle of your mess. You don't have to change anything. You know what? You can't. If you could, you would have did it already. You would have got rid of the mess and got it out your life. But the fact is, you can't do it. But if you trust God, He will come in. If you believe the gospel that He has given Jesus, His Son, and in order for Him to be wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, chastised for your peace, that by His stripes we are healed. That's what Isaiah said there in Isaiah 53, verse 6. He says, Isaiah 53, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. You know what we had? Unmitigated autonomy. I'm going to do it my way. Let me do it my way. And you know what? Our way has gotten us into a mess. That's what has happened here in our country, and is happening around the world. Ultimately, there will be a big network of fallen people all together saying, let's just cut loose and do what we want. You can read Psalm 2. It'll put everything I just said to you in a nutshell, entirely. Because it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers set themselves and they take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. They're holding us back from unmitigated autonomy. We want to do what we want to do. Just let us do it. You know what it says? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in derision, and then shall He speak to them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And the Lord has said unto me, He says there, that thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And He says, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen, that's people who don't believe God, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy inheritance. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That's the judgment of God against a fallen, unholy world. Thou shalt break them in pieces like a potter's vessel, He says. Yet, but kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put their trust in Him. Psalms 2 is a nutshell of this whole subject that we're talking about today. And I didn't put that in the notes, but write it down. So I want you to see something here from the Old Testament, a couple of passages quickly. Here in Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon, writing here, the Koheleth, as the Hebrew says there, the preacher, some people say, the words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. There's one shepherd that gives the words of the wise. You know where they are? Right here, in the Word of God. And further, by these, my son, in other words, by my words, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God's going to analyze everything. But fear God. Trust in Him. Believe that He has made a way for you. Believe that He loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows your pains. He knows your successes. He knows everything about you. Good news, beloved, He loves you just exactly as you are. And God has never changed. He has loved you every second you've been in the world. He loved you before you came in the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He made you to be the person that He wants you to be. He told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5, that when before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So trust in God. Believe Him. The whole duty of man, here Solomon goes on to say, is to, the conclusion of the matter is fear the Lord and keep His commandments. That is the whole duty of man. You know what? Unmitigated autonomy militates against that. It says, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. I'm free. We use the banner of freedom over here a lot in America to say, oh, I'm free and you're infringing on my freedom. And therefore, let me go ahead down this pit. And you know what? You can do that. God will let you do it. He'll let you go right on down the pit if that's where you want to go. But you know what? The whole duty of man, Solomon says, is to fear God. And God will bring every secret thing, whether it be good or bad, or whether it be evil. He says he will judge everything. So be aware of that. Realize God doesn't want to judge you. He wants to save you. Why would you write a book like this and tell people, if you trust my son, that's all you need to do, and I'll save you. So we can try to run on with unmitigated autonomy. Let me do it my way. I don't want to do it your way, God. I realize you've made a way. You loved me before I was ever created. You gave your son, who you loved even more, and you allowed him to die and be spit on for me. But I'm saying, forget that. I don't need it. You know what? You will get what you really deserve. All of us who are saved don't get what we deserve. God has chosen to bless us with some things we do not deserve, which is his grace and his blessing, like he did Abraham. Had nothing to do with what Abraham was doing. He just said, get out your country, come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great. God made a promise, just like I'm making to you today. If you trust in Jesus Christ today, God says, I will save you just like you are. You don't have to do anything but believe God. Believe God, it will be accounted to you for righteousness. And what he'll do, he'll adopt you into his family. He will start to instruct you and teach you things you never could accomplish on your own. He'll help you with autonomy, but it won't necessarily be unmitigated, fleshly, worldly autonomy. It'll be godly autonomy to build things for his purposes and his kingdom. The psalmist says here in Psalms 111, I got to move quick, my time is getting away. Psalms 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. See that God's calling a group of people into a congregation that we call the true church, who trust Christ, who know that we are sinners and have been deserving of God's judgment, but God has shown us mercy. So we congregate together. We know his word is true. No matter what the world, the governments, anybody else says, makes no difference. We know the word is true. We know that God will fulfill everything he promised. And so he says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Look at that. He's gracious and full of compassion. I need grace and I need compassion. How about you, beloved? He hath given meat to them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. In other words, if God promised it, you can count on it. He'll never go back on the covenant promise that he has made. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. In other words, people who resist, who want unmitigated autonomy to be the thing that they live for. It's, let me be the captain of my own soul. Well, you can be the captain. God will let you do it. But God's going to give everything to the blessed, to those who have accepted his grace, that have accepted his son, that have accepted his mercy, that have believed that he has even the solution to the problem of death. You know what? Death is sweeping through the world right now at a terrible pace. It's amazing how many people are going into the grave day by day. The truth is the ratio is 1-to-1, but the truth also is that Jesus, the only one, which is 1-to-1, went in the grave and got up, defeating death in the grave. Who are you going to trust? Somebody else who says, I have some philosophy that will help you. I have some way of living that will escalate you into the highest. And you know what happened? When they died, they went in the grave and they couldn't do anything about it. Only one has went in the grave and got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And his name is Jesus the Christ. That's why this world, the one you live in, the one I live in, is centered around Jesus the Christ. So if you trust him today, beloved, you shall be saved. God goes on to say here, speaking through the psalmist, verse 6, he has showed his people the power of his works, that he might give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. In other words, he does everything good and right. All his commandments are sure. They cannot fail. They're just as sure as the rising of the sun. Verse 8, Psalms 111 and 8. They stand forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So that's what we want you to know. God has a group of people, and then there's a group in the world who believe in unmitigated autonomy. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way of another person who said he was a religious leader, but he died and couldn't even get out the grave. Is that what you believe? You want to put your trust in a dead man or in a risen Savior? You have a choice. And the fact is, I admonish you today, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Now about this character, let's move this up just a notch here because my time's getting away. I want you to see here another passage in 2 Thessalonians. You can go find that. But before we go there, in 2 Thessalonians, we want to look at chapter number 1, verses 1 to 12. I don't know if I put that right. 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 and to 12. Notice this, that King Solomon, the anointed son of David, through Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, David had an unwholesome relationship with his mother, Bathsheba, who was somebody else's wife. Terrible situation, isn't it, for one of the greatest kings that ever lived? In his vast wisdom, he concludes that the word of God, our Creator and Savior, should be carefully studied and adhered to because it is the whole duty of man who will be judged according to the righteous standards of the Almighty as he is written. In other words, God wrote it down. I'm done. I don't need to write anymore. I wrote what I mean, and it's going to last when heavens and the earth have passed away. And whoever believes me, I will bless them. I will adopt you out of the family of the people who are running in unmitigated autonomy. I'm going to do it my way. And I'll bring you into the group of the blessed, into the congregation of the righteous. The psalmist extols the majesties of the Almighty, who has given to all the record of his commandments, which is his word, the Bible, which, when loved and obeyed, bring about the best possible conditions for all people. However, the many who choose to disregard his commandments remain in the category of the heathen, as he says here in the Psalms, who continue to be in pursuit of unmitigated autonomy, which is the evil human drive that will culminate in the rise of the Antichrist, who will deceive the entire world of unbelievers. That's how pervasive the Antichrist will be. You know what? We're on the heels of it right now. I don't know exactly when, and I wouldn't even attempt to predict it. I hear people doing that too. But the scripture says, no man knows the day nor the hour when this person will arrive. But I tell you what, we can see by what God has said, what he has predicted, that it's coming up, baby. You better get ready. You need to trust in Christ while you have opportunity. Trust while you still got the blood running warm in your veins. Trust while you still can embrace Christ and be saved. Because whoever believes in him, the Bible promises, will be saved. You won't have to worry about the destruction and the false system and the godless world that's going to militate against Christ. You won't have to worry about, you know what, we write laws this deep with this many pages in it, and we wonder why it doesn't work. And God gave simple commands, just 10. And we can't do that. So what makes us think we can do a stack of stuff this thick? How ridiculous is human understanding? Then we're going to write one this thick now because that one didn't work. And that's the way they do. But the fact is, law has never been able to save anybody. Doesn't even stop criminals. Criminals continue on while y'all busy reading this big stack. We over here doing what we want to do with unmitigated autonomy. Running everything, doing it our way. We'll do anything that we want to do. That's how the wicked do, those who have not trusted Christ. So I want you to see this now just as we prepare to close. In 2 Thessalonians, we have this, and this is about the man of sin who is about to arise. He could be on the earth now. I don't know. You know something else? I really don't care because I trust in Christ. I believe in Jesus, so I don't care what the man of sin does. And I think God gives us this purely so that we can use it for evangelism, mainly. So people who don't know Christ can see what's going to happen. We can preach what's going to happen, whether I'm here or not. And you know what? I may not be here, because it says in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. I'm comforted with those words, because I'm not going to be here when the mess goes down. I trust Jesus. I believe God raised him from the dead. Where do you stand today? That's what's important. So Paul goes on to say, 2 Thessalonians 2 is what it is, verse 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, he's pleading with the Thessalonians, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's a reference to the rapture of the faithful, the believers, those who trust in the gospel. They believe God raised Jesus from the dead. That ye not be not soon shaken in mind. Don't even have a troubled mind, Paul says, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be troubled. You know what? If you're saved, you don't need to be troubled. That's why when Jesus left, he told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he says? Don't worry about the mess going on around you. People operating in unmitigated autonomy, saying we're running everything. Don't do that. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Don't be worried about what people say. And don't be worried about no disease. Don't be worried about the Antichrist or any of his folks. Don't be worried about the false church. But preach people into the kingdom. Let them set their minds on the place that Jesus got out the grave and went to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. That's what he said. So don't get hung up. Paul's saying the same thing. Don't be troubled. Don't be shaken in mind, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. I don't care what they write. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think, as it came from us. Because God is already through speaking. He says that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't let people shake you up. Let no man deceive you. Verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is the son of lawlessness. This is what the devil has waited his entire existence for, is to come to the place where he can say, I'm ruling the world. I'm controlling their finances. I got everything under my power. That's what he wants. And it's coming up. And people who don't believe what God has published in the world, been in the world, every second you've been in the world, you have not been in the world. You can hear my voice. You have not been in the world 1 second without the entire revelation of God's word in your life. Get the benefits of it. Believe in Jesus the Christ. God has centered the world around Christ. That's why it's 2021 right now this morning, because the world is centered around Christ. God did that so it would be easy for you to trust his son and receive his grace and his mercy, because it's not his desire that any should perish. He doesn't want to send people to hell. He doesn't want people deceived by the devil. He doesn't want the church embedded in a false governmental system or anything of that sort. The church is separated unto God and his work and his congregation of people who worship him and give him praise and hold his word up high and walk by faith and not by sight. And we don't have to worry about any of these things. You and I better take this word from Paul very seriously. This person, when he arises in verse 4, as I conclude, says he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. You know what? There's a lot of people calling a lot of stuff God all over the world. None of them have, the founders of those things have never defeated the grave. Only one person has ever defeated the grave, and that is Jesus, God's only begotten Son. That Jesus that got up out the grave and declared all power is given to me. Only one. Everybody else says, I have a philosophy of religion for you. You know where they at? They in the grave. Don't trust them today, beloved. Cast it away and trust the truth of God that was proven by resurrection from the dead. Remember, he says, Paul goes on to say in verse 5 to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, God is the one stopping that ruler from rising to that point where he has control of the whole world. He's holding him back. The Spirit of God is restraining the evil one. And I bet you see who's really in charge. It might look like the devil is gaining some ground. It may look like the false church, the whore that sits upon many waters, and is doing something and really making a big splash in the world. It might look like that. But you know what? God is holding it back. And he's giving people time to repent. He's giving you time to trust the Christ who's been in your life, around you all your life. And he loves you just like you are. And he's the only one can save you. You can't do it yourself. No organization can do it. No, right now, if you trust him. And so Paul says, don't be shaken in mind. And remember, I told you these things already. I got to remind you that these things are so. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed. To this, it may look like the devil's running it, or the government, or the false church, but they're not running it. God is running it. God, the Holy Spirit, is in charge right now. And so you need to understand that. And he withholds it, that it might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, in other words, he who allows it, will allow it until he's taken out the way. The Holy Spirit is checking every false system of religion, of government, of church, whatever it is. You're in check by the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything unless God releases you. And the truth is, God doesn't want people stuck in a false system. He wants you to believe the truth, his word, has been given from the foundation of the world. Moving on. Here he says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, when the Lord, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to show off and really delight the people who don't believe Christ in the latter days with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice this phrase, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, if you don't trust God's word that he has sent his son Jesus and he loves you just like you are, you will get what you deserve. We are getting what we don't deserve. God has given us grace. He's given us peace. He's given us mercy. He gave us his son. Raised him out the grave to let you know he is the only one who has the solution to your ultimate problem, which is death and the grave and separation from the Father. And so he did that for you. So whoever you are, I hope you trust him today as I close. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Beloved, today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. It is our prayer that you who trust in the Lord with all your heart and move not to your own understanding, if you have come to the place today where you know, I want to be saved, I want that homeland that Abraham got, I want to know that all I have to do is put faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who died while he was crucified in order to pour out his wrath on him so he didn't have to pour it on me. If you trust him today and you believe God raised him up the grave because he had done no sin, even with there any deceit in his mouth, pray with me right now. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we praise you today, Father. We bless you. We've heard the gospel. We've been knew that you love us, even though we know we're not loving. We got stuff that's not right. But and you don't save us on the basis of our own works. But you save us because you sent your son to pay that debt in full to your satisfaction. And Jesus has died on the cross. You allow him to suffer and you consume him on the tree in order to save a race like me. And so, Father, help today, help me today, Lord, have faith to believe you, to trust you. Fill my heart and my spirit with your spirit, Lord God. Fill my mind with your word. That is, wash my mind and cleanse me, Lord God, so that I can be the kind of man or woman that you want me to be these last and evil days. Father, save that person that's praying with me right now, that they might know that they are saved. You said these things right out of me. Believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. So, Father, bless them right now with that assurance that you have forgiven them right now. And
that shall be tithed unto your family, and that from henceforth and forevermore they shall be saved. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. Glad you were able to be with us today. Once again, I invite us to make an offering to the ministry to help us export the gospel even to the ends of the earth. We would love to receive that from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 210301, St. Louis, Missouri 63121, or you can send it by Cash App at #TeachingBible, and you can receive an offering that way, or you can also go to our website at teachingbible.org, teachingbible.org, and we have links there on our support us page for PayPal. So we thank God for you, we pray for God that word for the message. It is our good pleasure to give you the knowledge of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ.